Thank you, guys. I love that concept or idea or thought that we just sang about, that restoration is coming. And there's a very specific way that we've been talking about the restoration is happening. God is restoring. God is bringing us back to what He intended for us, or where we were at the beginning before sin. And God has had to do all of this. He's had to remove our sin. He's had to draw Him to Himself. He's had to bring about, and it continues to bring about transition and change in our life, and sanctification is what God does. And God is restoring. And I just look out this morning, I just see a snapshot, you know, of restoration. And I could go across, and I love, you know, in the mornings, just watching you guys come in. And you know, as you're walking from your cars, there's a lot of comical things that happen, first of all. It's always fun to watch. But there's also, you know, I just look at your lives, man, and I just see restoration. I see that. I see God is changing you. He's bringing about change in your life and sanctification. And it's God doing it from the inside out. And that's what I love about this place. You know, I love about that each of you is giving one another time. There is no condemnation or judgment, which is great. I think everybody that's been at the gathering place, and many of you have not. We have a lot of visitors today. But those of you that have been here, I mean, one of the things that I appreciate that I know you do is that there's no condemnation, not even from Jesus, but from us. You know, there's no judgment. We are where we are, and we realize that we are in process, all of us, right? And so wherever we are, God is constantly changing us. It's what He does. It's not always fun. Sometimes that hurts, and we'll talk a little bit about that today, but God is changing us, and I love what He's doing in your life. I love that you're here today. If nothing else, you're here today for a moment with God where His Holy Spirit will move inside your life if you allow Him to, if you don't resist that the Holy Spirit intends to meet you where you are and bring you to a place of sanctification, a deeper understanding of who He is that will ultimately change the way you live your life. No shortcut to that. So we're not here to preach change. We're here to preach Jesus. And if you can see Him in a better light today, then change is going to happen. Amen? Y'all believe that? Say, oh, yeah. Okay, change is happening. It's happening, man. I love that. And some of you feel like, man, I had an email from someone this past week. Said, man, you know, I'm not seeing, there's no fruit in my life. And I said, man, forget about it. The very fact that this person said to me, I feel like I'm empty. I have nothing to offer. That's fruit. That's the very beginning fruit that happens in your life. If you don't get that fruit first, the rest of the fruit is not going to happen. God is getting us to the end of ourselves. And so fruit of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, as He's pruning you, one of the first things He's going to do is get you to the end of your goodness. Right? And some of you this morning are at a place where you feel like you're pretty good. You know, in your life, I mean, you've got a lot to offer the world about, you know, ministry. And you think, well, I've got it all. And one of these days, you're going to get broken of that if you intend to walk with God. Because God intends on showing His glory, not yours, not allowing you to hold on to yours. Man, it's a painful thing. I have plenty of testimony I could spend my whole day talking about just what painful experiences I've been through because I resisted what the Holy Spirit wanted to do in my life. But God is committed to that. He is the husbandman, and He's faithful to do His task, right? So God is working. He's working on us. We've been muddling our way through a little bit at a time through John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. We're not getting out of there today, probably. But we're going to go back to it today. So let's look at it and remind ourselves of some of the things we said and then move forward with this concept or idea of pruning that John is going to give us in this passage. John chapter 15, let's read verses 1 and 2. Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, or the husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes. So last week, we began to talk a little bit about what it means to be pruned, or basically to be a branch that bears fruit. You know, it's those of you that are non-suspecting people that walk up on Sunday mornings that I look at you and I think, man, God's showing fruit in their life. And you're at a point where you're just kind of giddy. And I'm thinking, That's a good place to be, but guess what? That desire that God's putting inside of you for more fruit is going to result in some painful experiences, and it's fixing to happen. It just happens. I mean, God has to cut away the junk that's in our life before we can produce more fruit. That's what he does, and he's faithful to do that. And even though this is going to sound like a weird statement, but for those of you who have been pruned a lot in your life and have not resisted, but have allowed God to prune you, you finally just come to the point where you embrace the pruning. You know it's bad, but you just say, okay, God, let's go. Let's get in. Let's get it done. Amen? Some of you can relate to that. Most of us, though, probably are still in a place where we resist pruning. And so pruning is a painful experience. It's more painful. I mean, certainly the circumstances that God allows and sometimes brings into our life, sometimes God uses Satan to do that in our lives. Satan's never working on his own, apart from God's knowledge or God releasing him to do something. Right? God's got Satan on a chain. The old preacher told me that one time. I like that. He's got him on a chain. He's only going to go as far as God allows him to. Satan thinks he's got it all, that he's got free will to do what he wants to do, but he doesn't. God manipulates everything that he does and uses it for our good. So sometimes Satan is the culprit and the experiences are bad and it seems like, you know, we'll never overcome this, but God is in control the whole time. Sometimes those things are circumstances that God directly puts into our lives so that he can prune us. But fruit-bearing branches want more fruit. There's something that's happening right now in my life, and I know in the lives of many of you, there's something that's happening in me right now that's never happened in my life before. I'm beginning to see God's fruit produced through my life. Why didn't that happen before? Because I was busy producing my own fruit. I was doing things for my own credit. The fruit, by the way, in its simplest definition, is God's glory. And God can't get glory if I'm taking it for myself. And I've spent most of my ministry doing things so that I could get credit. But now that I'm beginning to see God's fruit produced in my life, there's some certain things that are happening. I don't want any credit. If anybody tries to lift me up, I want to push myself down. I don't care for any credit. I don't want anybody to see me as anything special. With Paul, I embrace this thing of, I want to be weak so that God's strength can be shown through my life. And I want more of that. I want more of that. And so what has to happen in order for more fruit to be produced? More of me has to die. More of God has to live. More of God has to be shown in order for that to happen. I've got to die more to myself. And God's faithful. He's faithful to do that work. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today. Those of you who are here and you're dealing with some pruning in your life, I want to give you some comfort and hope. Really, the only comfort is this. We talked about it last week, is that God is the one doing the pruning. And God knows what he's doing. He's perfectly aware of everything that threatens his glory. He's very much aware of everything that threatens his fruit being produced in our life. God knows. He's very aware. He's perfectly able to make the proper corrections to the branch so that his fruit can be produced. Take comfort in that. He knows how to fix things. And his corrections will always be effective. So don't think that those experiences that you go through are not going to be effective. When God allows something into your life or brings something in your life to bring correction so that more fruit will be produced, more fruit will be produced. Y'all believe that? Say, oh yeah. It's going to happen. He's effective. That's important because God, it's important that we understand that God is the one doing the pruning. Because pruning has to be done at the right time and in the right way. One of the things I've read as I've been studying pruning the last couple of weeks is there's a lot of details about how you prune certain trees or certain plants or vines or whatever. And you have to prune them at the right time. Some of them you prune in the fall. Some of them you prune in the spring. Some of them in the middle of the summer. If you cut back too much or the wrong things, you lose your tree. If you don't prune a tree, a fruit tree, it's not going to produce more fruit. And so it's all these different rules and regulations tied to it. I'm glad I'm not in that business. Because I'm telling you, there's so much. And for every type that I read, everything that I read is different stuff. So you can't apply pruning on one plant to the pruning on another plant. So it's very important that we're comfortable with this understanding. We need to find our comfort here, is that God is the one doing the pruning, and he knows what he's doing. That's the only way for me that when I'm in the middle of a trying circumstance, it's something that comes into my life, whether it be through by God's permission or by God's placement, when something comes into my life and I'm in the midst of this horrible experience, where do you find comfort? It's only in knowing. For me, it's only in knowing who the husbandman is, who the one is that's doing the pruning. I trust God. I trust God to do that pruning. And so I encourage you guys to take comfort in that. God knows when to prune and what to prune. And we need to trust him and join him in that. And I believe this, for me and for most of you, the pain that comes in pruning is when we resist. It's like the monkey that sticks his hand in the hole to get the cookies, and he grabs the cookies. It nearly kills himself because he won't release the cookies and get his hand out the jar or out the box. Okay? It's like that. As long as we resist what God's telling us to do, man, we're going to cause a lot of pain for ourselves, and we're never going to get what we really want. God's Holy Spirit is speaking to you. There's no doubt this morning, if you'll listen and tune your ears to what God wants to say, the Spirit will speak something into your life. You're going to hear a command from God for your life, not only a principle from the Word of God, but it will speak specifically into your life. All of us have those moments on a regular basis if you ever get yourself in front of the Word. God will speak, and then you'll hear it, and you'll say, well, God, that was just for me. That's exactly what I needed to hear. That's going to happen this morning if you're listening. I'm confident of that, not because of my ability, because the Spirit is the one that lives in me, is flowing through you, trying to produce more fruit. And the husbandman is going to do his correcting today. He does that. So don't resist that. Don't fight it. Learn to embrace those things, even those hard things that God speaks into your life. So most of our pain, I believe, is of our own making. So let's look at pruning. What is pruning? By definition, pruning is this. It's to cut away or cut back parts of a plant or something for better shape or for more fruitful growth. To cut away what is unwanted or superfluous. I like that definition because it's not just the things that, it's not always the bad things that are cut away, the ugly things. Sometimes it's the good things that are cut away. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. So that's what pruning is. It's cutting back or cutting parts away, those things that are unwanted or superfluous, so that we can have more fruitful growth. God's purpose is always for you to produce more fruit. So what is the knife? The knife that God uses is the Word of God. We go back to chapter 15. And in verse 3, he says, already you are clean. Why? Because the word that I have spoken to you. You've already been pruned, he's telling his disciples, because of what? Because of the word that I've spoken to you. Andrew Murray says this in his book, True Vine. He says, it is only when affliction leads to the discipline of the word that it becomes a blessing. The lack of this heart cleansing through the word is the reason that affliction is so often unsanctified. I love that. I agree with that. It's when our affliction leads us to the discipline of the word that it becomes a blessing. It can only, that affliction that you're experiencing in your life right now can only be a blessing in your life when you apply the word to it. And God will do that for you. It's not something you do. He'll do it. His Spirit will lead you to the word. But if your heart's not open to that, then that pain in your life will only be an unsanctified pain, which means you just went through all that for nothing. I went through a lot of pain in my life for nothing because I'm so stubborn, man. And I appreciate the fact that we are a church that believes and teaches that God uses all things together. Because there's so many people that believe if you have any pain in your life, it's like the Old Testament believers believed. And even a lot of the Pharisees and teachers of the law believe this, that if bad things were happening to you, it's only because you are a bad person. and because you sinned or your parents sinned or something. But the truth is that God uses pain. And when pain comes into our life, as long as our hearts are open to the word being spoken into our lives, then God will bring correction. But if we're not, it's just unsanctified pain. It's pain for the sake of pain, and that's just weird if you like that. All right? I'll just say. So it's our connection with the word of God and our receptivity to being changed by the Spirit of God that provides the best conditions for our pruning. Remember that, guys. It's our connection with the word of God, and it's our receptivity to the Spirit of God that allows God to the best conditions for pruning. And so we need to always keep the word before us. There's a sense of randomness, I think, for some of you in whether you come to hear the word on Sunday mornings. And that's, I just say pray about that. There's a sense of randomness for many of you about spending time in the word every day, praying and reading God's word. There's a sense of randomness for many of you about memorizing scripture or about meditating on a verse of scripture or applying scripture in your life. Man, what we do with the word of God is so significant. The Spirit of God will be working always to apply the word in times of trial. That trial is not for random. It's for a purpose. And God will take that word and apply it to your life. But you need to put yourself before the word. You're not going to feel like it sometimes. Matter of fact, most of the time, I see this pattern anyway for many of us. Whenever pain is going on in our lives, we had a rough day, rough Saturday or a rough Friday, we're not going to be in church on Sunday morning. And again, everybody understand? Everybody plug in? Everybody up? Everybody understands. I'm not saying that Sunday morning is the only time you're going to get the word, right? Everybody understands that? Okay. We need to be living in the word, but boy, there's a word for God for you every week right here. This is you need to be committed to this, to coming to hear what God has to say to you. And there's a word for this body that's spoken every week from this platform because the pastor's weak, has nothing to offer. And so the Spirit can speak. And I just say this is a great time. What I'm going to do all week long is I'm going to study the word all week long, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Spirit what to speak on Sunday morning. And then what I speak here on Sunday morning is very significant. Do you have anybody else that's doing that for you in your life? I mean, you pay me for that. So take advantage of it. That's what I'm going to do. I have no other agenda in my life. And so it's important. I believe this is one of the most important times, not because I'm the best preacher you ever heard, but because the word that's going to be spoken on Sunday morning is so significant. So you need the word. Get yourself in front of the word. That's what's going to cut you. That's what's going to prune you. You need the word of God. And so I just challenge you guys, be more committed to this, to hearing the word. Okay, and then, hey, guess what? Being here on Sunday morning, let me just testify, because I can take pictures on Sunday morning with a Zoom lens or have somebody do it from the baptistry. Because just because you're here on Sunday morning doesn't mean you're hearing what's being said, right? Right? Some of you didn't say right because you're sleeping, right? It's true. And all of us know that, man. When Saturday's long and I get in here on Sunday morning, it's hard to stay focused. And so you got to allow the Spirit of God to fill you. Are you hungry for this? Are you hungry for pruning? Because pruning needs to happen by the word of God. And so when you're here on Sunday morning, man, you do what you got to do. I can't, I'm not your mama. If you need to bring your mama, bring her. But I'm not her. And so do what you got to do. If you got to stand up in the back, you got to slap yourself in the face or get your neighbor to slap you, I can promise you there's some people here that will do that for you. In Jesus' name. They will slap you. We got to hear the word of God. You can't depend on me to be colorful and creative and all that stuff, man. God's ripping all that out of me. I've just got to give the word. But you need to hear the word, and you need to apply it. Just because you hear it doesn't mean you apply it. And so the word is huge for us. It's our connection with the word of God, first of all, that's going to provide the best opportunity for God to do his pruning. And then it's going to be a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. In addition to the word of God. The Spirit's not going to lead you to do something that's contrary to what the Word says. The Word's not going to teach you to do something contrary to what the Spirit says. It's finding that connection and embracing the things of the Spirit. Embracing God's voice when the Spirit speaks, and you begin to recognize that, and you begin to train yourself by listening and taking chances under the grace of God. I believe God said, so here I go. Don't, you know, keep it childlike. Go off on some tangent if you have to, but go. You know, some of you have been sitting on a decision for way too long. You know that there's this, you feel confident, but the lack of peace that you have is because you want to control it and know what the outcome is going to be. Not because the Spirit hadn't spoken. Not because it's not consistent with what the Word has said. Just now, some of you heard that word, and it's a word for you. And you need to act on what God told you to do, whatever that is. I mean, it's pretty simple. But that's what sets the best conditions. It's the Word, it's connection with the Word and receptivity to being changed by the Spirit. If we'll allow God to do that, you can't stop Him from doing it. He's going to do it whether we want Him to or not. But that allows the best opportunity. It's like going into the operating room and saying, okay, I know you guys are going to put needles in me. Just do it. Here we go. Cut that junk that's in my body out and get me well. Or going in there and saying, oh, yeah, y'all can fix it, but you're not going to be able to give me any drugs. No, don't put any needles in me. No, get that knife away. How are you going to get well if they don't let the doctor do his work? And so set the stage. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Stay in the Word. Spend more time reading the Word. Look, we've heard this all our life, but it's not because you need to start a new discipline in your life. You need to make a commitment that you're not going to keep for a week. It's that you need to see the significance of this desire to bear fruit that's inside of you, the significance of getting in the Word, staying in the Word, surrounding or building your life around the Word of God. That's what needs to be our heart. And we need to surrender those things to God that are interfering or disrupting that process in our lives. Let's look at the knife for a minute. If the knife is the Word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Now, prior to this verse, the writer of Hebrews is talking about hearing the voice of God. And he says, when you hear the voice of God, don't harden your hearts against what you hear. So when the knife is going to do its work, and we're ready to set the stage, that means that we're reading the Word and we're sensitive to what the Spirit's going to tell us to do with it. And so he says to the Hebrews, when you hear God's voice, don't harden your hearts. Why? Verse 12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Those are really parenthetical statements to soul and spirit. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God sees the branch. You can't hide anything from God. He knows where the problems are. God sees what we can't see even about ourselves. He looks at the branch and he knows what the problem is, remember? So we can have comfort in that. And so God sees us. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Every creature, all of us, every branch in this room is naked and bare before God. So give up hiding your issues. You're a part of a church that doesn't care. I mean, we care, but you're not being judged by the people here, and God knows, so why hide it? Look, just be open and transparent before God. Because what God does, what his word does, is living and active. What makes God's word living and active? The word is God. The word is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that's living inside of us makes that word living and active. It cuts. It begins to cut. When you're a child of God, this is what it does. It separates soul and spirit. Soul is that part of us that's us. Okay? It's the wood. The spirit is the part of God that has taken over our beings. Our spirit has been joined with his spirit. He lives in us. And so his spirit lives inside of us. And there's contradiction between our flesh, us, and the spirit that lives inside of us. And the Word of God, when we read it, it cuts right to the core of who we are and divides those things. So it's not like we're not aware of the things in our lives that are flesh. We are. We are. And when we get sensitive to the Spirit and we're reading His Word and putting ourselves before the Word, immediately His Word's going to cut. It's going to cut right to the problem in our lives. Recently, I had a friend that I spent some time with. Man, we worked with the Spirit in this very thing. There was something in his life that he was not even aware of. But God was aware. And when God went to work on that little part of his life, as we shared the Word together and allowed the Spirit to guide that conversation, man, God spoke to his heart, and immediately his eyes were opened. And from that time to today, he's been growing in his understanding of how deep the stronghold was in his life. God is going to get to the point in your life. That's what pruning is. The Word of God comes inside of us, and it separates the flesh from the Spirit. And so we can't do the things anymore. I can't do anything the things anymore as a pastor that I used to be able to do and say, God did, you know, God's doing this. It was stuff that God was not even a part of. You know, but I called it ministry. I can't do those things anymore. Why? Because the Spirit has come into my life and cut and shown me the truth and shown me where my flesh was. And the Spirit wants to do that with you. The Spirit is going to come in and use the Word of God to divide soul and spirit. So the knife is the Word, and it divides our flesh from the Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says this. He says, all Scripture is breathed out by God, and it's profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. All right, stop. All those four things, teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, all four of those, what is that? That's exactly what we just described about the Word of God in Hebrews. He comes into our lives, and what does he do whenever the Spirit shows us what's wrong in our lives? He doesn't just leave that stuff in our lives. He cuts it away. This is the way the Spirit cuts those things away. It's by teaching, by reproof, by correction, and training in righteousness. These are the things that God does with his Word in our lives. These are the things the Spirit uses the Word to do in our lives. And so he's removing us, and he's replacing us with him. I love the fact that Kevin chose a new song today. Look with me. I don't have this, or maybe you can get it in Romans chapter 6. One of the songs this morning spoke about this, and it's a great illustration. Again, just a reinforcement from Paul to the church at Rome of what we're talking about here. This cutting away that happens. Why is the symbol of Christianity crucifixion, a cross? It's because we're supposed to die with Christ, right? We got to die to ourselves. And the resurrection is what he does in us. All of this is described clearly in chapter 6. I just want to read a portion of that. It wasn't planned, but let me read it because, boy, it fits. What shall we say then, verse 1? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Okay, now he's talking about fruit. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all, but for life he lives, but the life he lives in God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. This is what the husbandman is doing. He is making us dead to sin, sanctifying us, killing the us that's still alive, and bringing us to life in Christ. So that the fruit that we produce is not our fruit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's God's fruit. So some of the characteristics of what the pruner is doing in my life, you might be able to connect with. As I've been reading about pruning, here's some of the things that we can close with. Y'all ready to hear these? Say, oh yeah? Not sleeping yet? Say, oh no? All right? Because we've got to get these before we leave. Here we go. Consider these. Number one, this was one of the most interesting things I read about pruning. A vine dresser, or husbandman, cuts away last year's growth. When he starts pruning, one of the things he does is he cuts away last year's growth. All right, let that settle for a minute. Make your own spiritual application. Debrief that for a minute. The sign of a successful branch is it produces much fruit, which means there's a lot of growth that happens in the branch to prepare for that fruit to grow. The very thing that will stop that branch from producing fruit this year is if the husband doesn't come and cut off last year's growth so that this year's growth can happen. Everybody getting that? Man, we are so connected to last year's growth. Right? We don't want last year's growth to be cut away. It's a sign of that there's been some life in me. You know, what we do is we hold on to last year's growth. We brag on it. We get a group of people around us who have grown in the same way. We all talk about it. We study it. You know, we talk about how good it is. We dwell on it. We have growth parties. We bring the kids in for some growth cookies. I mean, it's all about us. Immediately, when we start seeing success, what happens in most of our churches? We start talking about our church. We start talking about all the things that we did last year. And we get real nostalgic real fast. And God is wanting to just cut that away, man, because it's not about us. It's not about last year's growth. It's about this year's growth. It's about the fruit he wants to produce this year. And it might be something totally different, but we get so connected to what God's done in us. Y'all with me this morning? Did y'all get that little point? Man, we need to understand that. God doesn't want you being nostalgic. I need to be better about holding some of you accountable for that. Some of you need to be better about holding me accountable for that. Because we tend to start bragging on what God did in us instead of what the fruit that he produced. We don't even give him credit for the fruit most of the times. But it's not about us. No fixation in this church on past growth. We need to let that go. A second thing that is obvious, but a husbandman takes away anything that hinders growth. Anything that hinders growth. And one of those things is those little mini branches that they call them suckers, which is a good name. I like that. Sorry, suckers. They get all over the branch and they start taking some of the life away. I love the fact that Jesus, in this same meeting with the disciples, shows us an example of this. Peter, who had success as a branch, when Jesus says, I'm going to wash your feet, Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. And what does Jesus do? He gives a word. He gives a word. If I don't wash your feet, you can't be one of mine. And then he teaches him and cuts away Peter's pride and says, you need to be a servant. He uses the word to prune Peter right there in that upper room. Because Peter had all these little ideas and things that were taking away from his ability to produce fruit. And God had to get Peter to the end of himself. So God removes all of that. And Jesus says, here's the truth. Before the cock crows tonight, you're going to deny me three times. And it was in the courtyard when he denied Jesus three times. And the cock crowed that Peter died. He died to himself and he gave up being a disciple. And then he was ready to be used. And so God's going to come in and he's going to cut off those offshoots in our life. Those things that are really distractions. They might seem spiritual, but they're distractions. And then the last thing that God, I believe, cuts off, or the one last thing I want to talk about anyway, is cutting off dead wood. Dead wood. I'll just say this. I think everything in us that is from us is dead wood. Everything in you that is from you is dead wood, and you need to ask God to remove it. If you're really serious about producing more fruit, set the stage by saying, God, show me the dead wood. Show me what of me is still me, because it's worthless. The quicker we can get rid of us and God can prune us out, then he can put his spirit in those places. Being filled with the Spirit, what is that? It's being emptied of ourselves. That's it. You already got this Holy Spirit. There's just areas of your life that you're not allowing him to fill. And so when he removes that junk out of your life, then he can fill that area with his Holy Spirit. So what's our application for the day? Here it is. I think our posture. Everybody awake? Application right here. Our posture before a husbandman is whatever life brings our way, and particularly when bad circumstances come, our posture is surrender to God. Our activity is to be in his word, to hear his word, to meditate on it, to memorize it, ultimately to do his word by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. That's it. You want to be pruned? You want to produce more fruit? It's not complicated. It's not complicated. Read the word, respond to the Holy Spirit, and have an attitude of surrender before the Lord. What's your attitude today before God about whatever circumstance you're going through in life? What's your attitude? Let's pray for a second. I want to ask you as we close this morning's service to think about your life and answer that question. What's your attitude? As I see it, there's really something that God has to do in our lives right now, and that is change our attitude. God, give us an attitude of surrender, not control, surrender. I'd ask you right now just to get in mind whatever circumstance you're going through that God might be wanting to use right now to prune you. I don't think it's by accident that we spoke this message today. God's timing is right. What is it that you have considered to be something besides God in your life, some pain that you're going through or circumstance? And maybe today the Spirit is saying, that's me, that's me. And would you say to God, God, I surrender, I surrender. Show me what area of my life you're trying to prune, God. Show me the dead wood you're trying to get out of my life, or that offshoot that's absorbing all of the sap right now in my life. Show that to me. God, I want it out. I want it out, and I want to join you in that. Don't resist the Father today. The work of pruning is so that we will bear more fruit. So allow God to prune you. Let his seed, the seed of his word, fall on fertile soil in your life. Soil that is surrendered to him. Let the Spirit speak truth to you this morning. In the parable of the sower, those that heard the word and accepted it, the scripture says that they would bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. So you're hearing the word, receive it, accept it, surrender today. Whatever the Lord spoke to you today, I encourage you right now just silently to lift up a prayer of commitment and surrender to him right now. Father, your word has been spoken and your Spirit has been present. So fertile soil has been here for your pruning to be done. And I just pray, God, that you have cut away some junk out of our lives and that you will continue to do that this week and for the rest of our lives, God, that we might, through some miracle, God, of your Holy Spirit, that we might make a practice, Lord, beginning today, of setting a stage for your Spirit to, and your Word to cut away all that is us so that your glory can shine through our lives. Lord, we are committed as a church to your glory. We want the world, Lord, we want to see you for who you really are and be changed by that in such a way that the world around us will see you for who you are. It's a blessing to be your children, God. We're only beginning to understand how awesome that is and all that that holds for life. So we bless your name today. And thank you, God, for being here and being present and for speaking to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.